Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Dave's Good Vibration Station with Dave Cohen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
What's up, guys? You've just tuned in to Dave's Good Vibration Station here on LATalkRadio.com, world's most listened to internet talk radio station. Yeah! The show where we talk about anything and everything to raise your vibration, offer you different ways of perceiving this human experience, to assist you in embodying the highest and greatest version of yourself, because why not? Here on the Vibration Station, we have dedicated our lives to the sole purpose of offering you ideas, ideals, concepts that reshape and recrystallize your understanding of yourself in this human experience. Thank you guys for sharing your Sunday with us once again here on Dave's Good Vibration Station on LA Talk Radio. As you guys know, it is my pleasure, it is a great blessing, to say the least, that I get to share with you these concepts, these ideas, ideals, these approaches to the human experience, to all facets of the human experience, for the sole purpose of assisting you in embodying a higher and greater version of yourself. Now, what do we mean by that? A higher and greater version of yourself. What do we mean? Well, each and every single moment of each and every single day, you have a choice. You have a choice to direct your thoughts in a way that either serves you and humanity, or in a way that doesn't necessarily serve you and humanity to your greatest extent. Each and every single thought that you think has a vibrational equivalent. What does that mean? Well, like a magnet, every thought that you think attracts an experience into your life that is a perfect magnetic equivalent, a perfect vibrational equivalent to whatever thoughts you're thinking. This concept that we talk about here is the law of attraction. Now, here in the Vibration Station, we have talked quite a bit about the law of attraction. If you've been following us for years, or just a year, just a couple years, whether it's been all 9 years, or whether it's been just a couple years, whether it's a year, whether it's a month or a week, you'll know that here in the Vibration Station, we do talk about the law of attraction. But one thing that I've realized in the past shows that I have yet to do is give you guys ideas and concepts and approaches to this human experience that actually yield to you the means to experience the life of your dreams. It takes dedication. It takes devotion. It takes energy. It takes focus. It takes money. It takes happiness. It takes excitement. It takes drive. It takes fire, right? That fire in your belly that you get when you get this inspiration for an idea. That fuel that drives you to do something that's outside of your comfort zone. That fuel is inspiration. That inspiration is your guidance system. It's like your guidance system is filling you up with joy. It's like fueling your vehicle with cosmic energy that is inspiring you to do something that brings you greater joy. Because at the end of the day, regardless of what your passions are, regardless of what your dreams, your goals, whatever you visualize, at the end of the day, this human experience really is all about happiness. It's about how can we maximize our potential for joy? How can we maximize our potential for excitement in each and every single moment of this experience? And it's a difficult thing to do, especially living in such a fast-paced society, right? As you guys know, LA Talk Radio is broadcasted globally. Any place that you have access to the internet, you can access LA Talk Radio. So that's the blessing of being on internet radio as opposed to being stuck to wattage with an AM/FM system. So regardless of where you are around the world, regardless of the circumstances of your exterior setting, regardless of whether you are in the wealthiest place in the world or in the most poverty-driven place in the world, that should not define your happiness. Now, let's talk about the idea of money for a moment. Money is just energy. Currency, money. Money will make a good person great and a bad person worse, right? Money is not the root of evil, nor is it the root of happiness. This is what I've learned to be true for myself. This is what Napoleon Hill talks about in many of his books, including his most famous book, Think and Grow Rich. This is what Bob Proctor talks about. This is what Abraham Hicks talks about. This is what all the great masters of this planet talk about. Because money is such a centralized concept. Not only is it centralized in nature, but it is a centralized concept. And what do I mean by a centralized concept? I mean that there's one central idea that revolves around money. And that is you need money to survive. And if you don't have money, then you cannot essentially live the life of your dreams. Now, that is very true to a certain extent. Money is an amplification of the individual that you already are, right? But at the same time, it shouldn't be the reason for your happiness. Money is a great blessing. Money is your natural birthright. Everyone, I believe, if you put in the energy and you put in the exchange of energy, you should, by universal law, receive unconditional prosperity and wealth. The system that we were born into, this centralized currency system, of having a central government being able to control the purchasing power of the currency which we use, and then tie that currency to every single other currency on the planet, it's a system of deception and manipulation. And what do I mean by that? A system of deception and manipulation? Well, it's kind of breaks down to this. There's a core group of people that essentially get to choose how much the currency is worth, right? That's what a centralized currency is. Now, why are we talking about this here on the Vibration Station? I understand that for the last month we've been focusing on other asset classes besides USD that are growing in purchasing power, but simultaneously, you do take a high risk because you don't know what's going to happen. Now we're talking about cryptocurrencies. We also talk about here on the show precious metals, and we also talk about real estate. We talk about farmland. We talk about anything and everything that you can take your fiat currency, your faith-based currency, and then put it into something of intrinsic value. This is how you build true wealth. This is how you build true prosperity for yourself, for your family, for your loved ones, for your city, for your society, for your country, right? One man or woman, one individual has the power to amass enough currency, enough money, that they could help millions, if not billions, of people, provide them with clean water, fresh food, something to wear, clean clothes, right? A shower. All these things that here in Western society, we kind of take for granted. You know, we hop in the shower and we expect it to be hot. We expect the water to be hot. We might have to wait, you know, like 30 seconds for it to warm up. But you know it's going to get hot unless your gas bill, unless your gas is shut off. Then you turn your gas on, you pay the bill, and it gets hot. Well, not everyone around the world has that at their disposal. Not everyone around the world has the great blessing of being able to go to a grocery store and pick up a 25-pack or a 35-pack of water and pick up as many waters as they want at a very low price, too. $5 for like a 35-pack of water. I don't know if you guys have seen the Crystal Geyser, the new caps, the new lids. I really like them. Some people don't. Some people do. Obviously, I'm not promoting Crystal Geyser. This is not an advertisement for Crystal Geyser. I'm just I'm just sharing with you how blessed we are with all these different necessities that we have at our disposal. And then how money ties into that, how our global currency system plays into us having hot water and us having clean, fresh water at our disposal and us having the ability to go to whatever kind of store we want and purchase clothing gives us the ability to really focus our energy in any way that we choose to manifest anything and everything that we would like in our lives, right? Now, for those of you that just tuned in, I want to let you know I'm opening up the phone lines. You can go ahead and call us live on the air if you'd like to share with us, if you'd like to chat with us, 323-203-0815. Once again, that number is 323-203-0815. If you'd like to call in live on the air, go ahead and do that. Phone lines are open. You can always email me, too. If you don't feel like calling in, you want to email me, davesvibrationstation@gmail.com. Feel free to reach out whenever. So on today's show, we're going to be talking about the relationship between our global monetary system, asset classes of intrinsic value, and then all the beautiful, great blessings that we have and how it's all intertwined. So if there's a country with a currency system that allows its people to fill up their cars with gas, as I said, purchase clean water, pay for a gas bill so you can shower with hot water, turn your coffee maker on so you can get your caffeine in the morning, right? But then there's another country somewhere halfway across the world where their currency system doesn't allow their people the freedom that we do have here in the United States. How can, on a global level, that be fair for all individuals, no matter where you are, no matter what your traditional day-to-day expectations are, whether it is, yes, all I need to do is go to the market and get clean water, or whether it's like, I need to walk 6 miles to the closest water well so I can fill up my water buckets or pails or whatever, right? How can we distribute wealth equally among the masses? How can we offer people in rural parts of the world the same opportunities that we have here in California or pretty much anywhere in the United States? Of course, there's some rural parts of the U.S. as well. But at the same time, as long as you're close to a shower, as long as you're close to a source of gas that can heat water, as long as you're close to a supermarket, you'll be able to have these things at your disposal. You'll be able to take advantage of anything and everything you want. So my topic for today 15 minutes in, is the relationship between global currency, centralized currencies, having all anything and everything that we want at our disposal, clean water, hot showers, clean clothes, new clothes, coffees, sports drinks, whatever it is you want. Also in relationship to other parts of the world not having that at their disposal. So today's show is revolved around the distribution of wealth. So when talking about the distribution of wealth, it loops us around to the purchasing power of our centralized currency systems. So in the same way that the dollar inflates itself artificially beyond a point of no return, that's happening to every single fiat currency on the planet. So if the dollar is in a state of inflation, then every single currency on the planet is going to be reacting to that dollar artificially inflating. Now, when I say artificially, I mean that it's manipulated. I mean that it's not free markets and sound money. There's two types of economics. There's Keynesian economics and there's Austrian economics. Keynesian economists believe that we can print our way out of inflation. Well, that's actually a catch-22. It's a great paradox because the way that our Fed is set up is they tack an interest rate on the money that they lend us. So when the banks purchase bonds at the bond auctions, the Treasury issues these bonds, and then the Fed prints the money. But then the Fed says, okay, now here's $10 billion, but now you owe us $11 billion, regard depending on the interest rate. Or here's $10 billion, now you owe us $10.5 billion. So how are we supposed to pay that half a billion dollars back when the only source of us getting that half a billion dollars is putting an interest rate on the money that we are getting lent? So Zeitgeist talks about this. If you want like a really cool, if you want to get deep into kind of the constructs of society and religion and ideologies, check out Zeitgeist. Zeitgeist. I'll look it up. Zeit. Yep. Zeitgeist. Look up Zeitgeist. Really interesting. Whether it's, you know, whether the information is true or whether it's manipulated, you leave that up to yourself. I'm just going to share with you. I thought the information was pretty interesting. I remember seeing this movie when it came out years ago. It started as like a YouTube thing, and then they made a movie about it. It was in like a couple low-key theaters. Very, very, very interesting information. And Zeitgeist talks about how essentially the Federal Reserve puts an interest rate on all the money that we borrow. Now, the next thing, if you're in front of a computer or a smartphone or some sort of device with internet connection, go ahead and check out usdebtclock.org. I'm going to do it with you. That's usdebtclock, usdebtclock.org, right? Now, these are numbers that are displayed by the U.S. Treasury. It even says on usdebtclock.org, when you hover over a debt, it says source U.S. Treasury. Source U.S. Treasury. A source Federal Reserve. So if you go over the U.S. national debt here of 20.6 trillion, the national public debt outstanding represents the face amount or principal amount of marketable and non-marketable securities currently outstanding, sourced by the U.S. Treasury. That's 20.6 trillion. Yes, 20.6 trillion, right? Now, if we go down a little bit on usdebtclock.org, you'll see a section, it says U.S. total debt. You hover over that, and it says 69.2 trillion, and it's going up quicker than $100,000 a second. And this is sourced by the Federal Reserve. And keep in mind, this is real time. This is the real time total. So U.S. total debts include household, business, state and local governments, financial institutions, and federal government. Right? So we're at $69.2 trillion in debt, and like I said, going up about $100,000 a second. So think about that. Every single second, our country is going in debt another $100,000. Those are annual salaries for six-figure earners. I mean, duh, obviously. But think about that. Every single second, our country is going up in debt what a six-figure earner makes in a year. And if you're making six figures, you know, you're doing all right. You're pretty well off. You're not doing bad. The most people in the United States are not making six figures. So if you are making six figures, I say I don't know what the exact percentage, but a much higher percentage of the masses of the U.S. population are not earning a minimum of $100,000 a year. So for our debt to be going up $100,000 a second, you just think about every single second, how many seconds are in a day? Let's check that out. All right, let's do the math. And the reason why I'm doing this is to put into perspective, what is money? What is currency? What is this idea of trading time, which is the most valuable commodity in the universe? Forget gold, forget farmland, forget platinum or Pleiadia. The greatest commodity in the universe is time. It's what you do with your time. So if you trade your time for a fixed amount of fiat currency, you're getting, in a way, unless it's something you enjoy. Now that is something completely different. If you get to trade your time for a fixed amount of currency doing something that you enjoy, you're winning. You're on top of the world. That's awesome. That's how you do it. You do what you love to do. You just do what brings you joy. If you have a passion for computers and technology and you get to work with computers and technology, oh, you're awesome. You made it. You made it. At least when it comes to earning money, right? And supporting yourself, you've done it. If you're passionate about radio and you get to be compensated, even at a fixed rate, let's say it's $15 an hour for doing radio, then great. You've done it. You've made it. But let's say that you have a passion for technology and you're stuck working behind a cash register and you don't enjoy it as much as you would as if you were to work with computers or technology, then you should really reevaluate what you're doing with your time and why you're putting your time, so much of your time, into doing something that does not bring you that type of joy that it would if you were to actually do something that you enjoy. Okay. So there's 86,400 seconds in one day. 86,400 seconds in one day. Okay? Now, if we do 86,400, math is fun. Math is really fun because numbers don't lie, right? This is why I love math. You do 86,400 times 100,000. This will tell you about how much we're going up in debt a day, right? So don't worry, I'll do the math for you right here. 86,000 times 100,000. 86,400 times 100,000. You ready for this? 8.64 billion. 8.64 billion. So $8.64 billion a day. Every single day. $8.64 billion a day. Right? That's crazy. I think I'm doing my math right. It was so many zeros that my phone didn't. Yep. $8 billion. $640 million of debt a day. Now let's, so that means that divided by, obviously, 100,000, if you're a $100,000 earner, if you make $100,000 a year, one day is equivalent to 86,400 people's salaries. 86,400 people, if you're making $100,000 a year, in one day, that's how much debt we've accumulated. So you could even go to say 86,400 years, because it's 1 year per person, right? 86,400 people, each individually living in the same year, making $100,000 a year, is how much money each day our national debt is going deeper and deeper and deeper into. Deeper into debt. 86,400 people. That's one day. Now let's times that by a week. Times 7. That's over 500,000 people a week. 604,800 people a week. Now this is if you're making $100,000 a year. Right? So you're probably wondering, you're like, all right, I get it, Dave. I totally understand. Right? Like, the U.S. is good. The numbers are immaculate. They're uncomprehendable how much debt that actually is. Over 600,000 people a week earning $100,000 a year. It's mind-boggling. Okay, so let's wrap back. My mind gets blown. Even thinking of the numbers, I'm like, wow, how has so much money been printed and been injected into the currency supply? How is something like that even possible? How do we amass so much debt? And then I remember, oh yeah, because we operate in a debt-based system. Because the system in which we accept as currency is based off of creating debt. Because as they create debt, they create more money. But it's not real money. It's money that is owed plus an interest rate. So what I'm getting at is the money today, the money that is circulating, first and foremost, keep in mind, it's not your money. It's money. It's not even the country's money. It's money that's being borrowed. Right? That's why I say take the fiat currency, take the asset class of USD, and put it into something of intrinsic value, whether it's real estate, whether it's precious metals like gold and silver, whether it's cryptocurrencies. Now, the reason I say cryptocurrencies holding intrinsic value is because I do believe that cryptocurrencies are, to an extent, the answer to healing a lot of the debt that's been created. Because if cryptocurrencies as an asset class in and of itself can continue to build and build and build and expand and grow in purchasing power while the dollar continues to devalue in purchasing power, then cryptocurrencies essentially will absorb that debt. But instead of it being debt, it will become wealth. And that's what the wealth transfer is all about. That's what Mike Maloney talks about in his 8-part series, Hidden Secrets of Money. If you haven't already checked it out, check it out. It will blow your mind. It is crazy. And are you ready for this? Currency and credit derivatives as of 2018. So before I tell you this number, I'm going to share with you what this is. Currency and credit derivatives. A derivative or a credit default swap, also known as a CDS, is a credit derivative contract between two parties. The buyer receives a payoff if an underlying financial instrument defaults. So it's essentially the default, right? The buyer receives a payoff if an underlying financial instrument defaults. So the 2008 housing crisis, that shot up the derivatives, right? Because there were so many people that defaulted on hundreds of billions of dollars. So, currency and credit derivatives as of 2018, you ready for this? It's gone up 537%. And the number, if you can wrap your head around this number, $564,841,932,933,934,935,000,000, so on and so forth. Okay, so it's going up about $1 million a second. So the currency and credit derivatives are going up about $1 million a second, while the total U.S. debt, U.S. total debt, is going up about $100,000 a second. So you see all of this, it's just numbers. It's not real money. Think about it. How can it be? There's not actually $564 trillion in circulation. No way. Those are numbers on a computer screen that are being updated due to mathematical algorithms via interest rates. So, okay, you get a loan on a house. There's a 4.75% interest rate on that. So, right, 4.875. So all of a sudden, your $300,000 loan with, it's crazy. If you take a loan out for $300,000, this is actually another cool thing. You can actually go on us.clock.org. They have a mortgage loan calculator. And $300,000 does not get you property in Los Angeles. It just doesn't. I mean, it'll get you a property in a lower income area, but it's not, $300,000 in LA, $300,000 in California doesn't really go too far. Unless, you move out of California, you go to Oregon, $300,000, you could buy a beautiful home in Oregon. You could buy a beautiful home in Las Vegas. You could buy a beautiful home in a lot of other places. But when it comes to Los Angeles housing prices, $300,000 is like low income areas, right? Maybe you can find a nice place for $300,000 that is, you can find niche places, but you got to look for them. You got to really, really look, right? And yes, of course, if you bought your house 5-10 years ago and it's appreciated in value and it's accumulated equity, then absolutely, you could have gotten something for under $300,000 and now it's worth $500,000. Or it's worth $400,000, whatever it is, depending on the area, whatever. There's multiple factors that come into play when appraising a property. But the point is, if you were to take a $300,000 loan out, traditional 30-year fixed rate, at 4.875 interest rate, are you ready for this? You're not paying $300,000. You're paying $571,544. So you're actually paying $270,000, almost double the loan amount in pure interest, just because you went to the banks and said, okay, I want a loan so I can buy a home. And the banks say, okay, here's the money, but we're going to put an interest rate on it. And then that interest rate has another $270,000 on top of the $300,000 that you are borrowing from us. And you say, okay, I'm going to make my monthly payment of $1,587. And that's what it would be at $300,000 at 4.875% interest rate over a 30-year term. A 30-year fixed rate, that's the traditional term for a fixed rate loan, right? And you could, of course, do 15 years. The payoff would be lower. But it would still be mass amount of debt, right? So this is how debt is created. The banks take your money. Let's say you have $100,000 in the bank. The banks take your money and they lend it out to other people and they tack an interest rate on it. And they don't give you anything for it, right? Why do you think banks have minimum numbers for the bank tellers and the account managers to open new bank accounts? Why is it so important for these banks to make sure that they're opening new bank accounts every single day. Why is that such a big deal? Why do they care so much that you put your money with them? If they're being lawful with it, if they're actually being, you know, integral corporations, why would it matter so much? Well, it matters because the more money they have, the more of your money, which is not your money, it's actually their money. It's actually not their money. It's not even the country's money. But the more debted money that you take and put into their system, the more money they have to lend out to other people, put an interest rate on it, and then create currency out of thin air by tacking on an interest rate. Okay, so we see how this process is going. Now, as I said, today's show, we're going to loop around how we in our Western society take for granted the most amazing aspects and facets of this human experience, like clean water, like a shower, let alone a hot shower, like clothes, like being able to go get food at a supermarket, or being able to go and spend, if we wanted to, you know, $500 on a delicious steak dinner with a very expensive bottle of Sauvignon Blanc or whatever it is we want, right? We have that at our disposal due to the way that our currency system is set up. Now, a lot of people beg on the US dollar. What I mean by beg, they put it down. And I'm one of them. I totally am. I put it down all the time. And I say, I don't believe in the constructs of a fiat currency system. It silently steals wealth from the masses by artificially inflating the currency. Because as they artificially inflate the currency, they devalue the purchasing power. It's the exact same thing that happened in Rome, the fall of the Roman Empire. Do you know why the Roman Empire fell? It was because they debased their currency to fund public works and war. What is debasing? It means that all of a sudden, they, instead of using gold coins, they now had 10% gold and 90% copper, base metals. And then all of a sudden it became 1% gold and 99% base metals. And then all of a sudden they didn't use any gold. And it was just base metals. But then as the currency was circulating within the society, people would hoard the gold because the gold coin had the exact same purchasing power as the base metal coin. It had the same face value. Call it, in today's terms, call it $1, right? So that $1 gold coin had the same face value as a $1 coin that's made of base metals. But as a country continues to devalue their currency system, it actually steals wealth from the masses. Because by debasing the currency or devaluing the currency, you need more of the exact same units to purchase the exact same thing. That's why real estate prices are so high in comparison to 5, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago. Right? I remember 50 years ago, you could buy a really nice piece of land and build a two-story house on that land. Oh, what? Let's see, 50 years ago? For like $7,000? Like, I mean, we're talking like $1 million property today. 50 years ago, $7,000. Seriously, no joke. 30 years ago, and I found this out through one of the most inspiring people in my life, who he's just like one of the wisest people I've ever known and one of the smartest people I ever known and I have the pleasure of having in my life and having so close in my life, is my soon-to-be father-in-law, my fiance's father. He's a very, very inspiring man. He built a house for his family. He bought this land in Calabasas. He built this house, And we were chatting one day, and he told me, he was like, yeah, it was like 34, 36 grand or something like that. And now this same house that one day, you know, costs around 30, just let's call it on the high end, call it 50 grand. You know, that same house is probably appraised, if an appraiser were to come out and appraise the house, definitely over $1.2, $1.3 million. There's no question. Now, it's the same thing with my house. Now, my father didn't build our house, but when he bought it, we bought it for in the $300,000. And I was 6 years old, or five, I was 5 years old, actually. 20 years later, that same house that cost under $300,000 is appraised over $1 million property value. It's not that things are getting more expensive. It's that the unit of currency in which we use to exchange goods and services is going down in value. So we need more of the exact same units to buy the exact same thing. It's crazy. That's why, like, you go to the supermarket, avocados are like $5 for like three avocados. It's like crazy. You used to be able to go to the supermarket, three avocados would be like 50 cents. Now it's like $5. That's like 1,000% appreciation. Actually, it would be 1,000% deep depreciation because it's depreciating in value. It's crazy. The dollar is depreciating in value and it requires more of the same currency to purchase the same unit. So with all this information, I offer and invite the listeners, you guys, because you're the ones that have the power. You are the ones that hold the power. The power is in the people, right? The power is not in the central government. The power is in what the people choose to come together and faithfully agree upon. That's why, that's the only reason why the US dollar is still being used today, is because people are used to it. They have a faith invested in it. It's a faith-based currency. And same thing with cryptocurrencies. Same thing with anything. Gold. Why do people say that gold is a store of value regardless of the country's centralized currency system? Gold and silver will always be a store of value. Why? Well, over thousands of years, people have just accepted it and invested their faith in this type of metal. Well, this is a precious metal, and it's always going to hold a store of value, right? It's all based on faith. But now the question is, where is people's faith heading? That is the question. Where is people's faith headed towards? Because if you could determine, if you could depict, if you can hypothesize where the people's faith is headed in regards to a global monetary system, that's how you become a very wealthy individual. Or that's how you become a very wealthy family, or a very wealthy empire, a very wealthy corporation, very wealthy organization. Did you know that there were more millionaires made during the stock market than any other time in history? A lot of people don't focus on that end of the stock market. And people say, how is that possible? No, the stock market crashed. Everyone lost money. Everyone knows that. No, there were more millionaires made during the stock market than any other time in history. And why is that? Because there were more people that got word that there was something happening with the stock market. People that understood bullish and bearish runs. They said, oh, we're in a bull market. This is going to have to flatten out into a bear market. And when it does, it's going to really flatten out. It's going to shoot down. So those that shorted the market made millions of dollars. And those that didn't short the market and believed that the stock market was going to withhold its bullish stance, those are the people that lost money. So that's another end of it, right? There's a lot of manipulation going on that end of when people know that something bad is going to happen, they short the markets. When corporations know something bad is going to happen, they short the markets. Now, I'm not going to get into this because this is opening up an entire can of worms, but it is pretty interesting pretty coincidental. And I don't necessarily, I can't say that I really believe in coincidence, but it is very coincidental that these major corporations shorted certain financial markets right before 9/11. In 2009, 9/11, right? The terrible tragedy of the Twin Towers. Now, I'm not saying it was a conspiracy. I'm not even going to open that can of worms. I'm not going to say anything about it. But what I will say is that is a perfect display of how corporations make a shit ton of money overnight due to a natural disaster, or a disaster, whether it's natural, whether it's artificial, due to something bad happening to the economy, right? They short the markets and they make a bunch of money. So if you understand our global monetary system, how it works, just the basics, if you understand that we're in a debt-based system, if you understand that our money is not backed by anything of intrinsic value, if you understand that there's not enough money in circulation to actually meet the numbers that are on the bank accounts of the masses, meaning if one-tenth of the population were to go to their bank at the same time, or even within a one-week period, if one-tenth of the U.S. population were to go to their depository and liquidate all the money in their account, there wouldn't be enough money in circulation because it's all zeros and ones. It's all binary code. It's all algorithmic. It's all algorithms, and it's all binary, and it's all on a computer screen. Same thing with cryptocurrencies. Same thing with any other asset class that you like. Same thing with the price of gas, the price of rice, the price of grain, the price of cattle. My very, very amazing and intelligent, one of my best friends, he's a dear brother of mine, Colin, was sharing with me that there's actually a custodian for retirement accounts that you can invest in cattle. I had no idea. So there's all of these facets that we think about when it comes to what is money, what are asset classes, what does it mean to position yourself in an asset class that's on the receiving end of a wealth transfer. It means that for the first time in history, you are giving yourself an opportunity to yield and to create a yield to multiply the purchasing power of the money that you have worked so hard for by trading your time for it, by simply studying and understanding what asset classes to position yourself in. Now, for legal purposes and disclaimers, I am not a financial advisor. I am not a legal financial advisor. I have studied monetary history. I understand how the currency system works. I understand how the global monetary system works. But just because I say these things doesn't mean go and invest in these things. Do your own homework. Do your own research. Study it yourself. And then with the last 30 seconds that we have of the show, I do want to talk about wealth distribution. How do we offer the rest of the world an opportunity to receive the kind of wealth that we have here in the United States? Well, I do believe cryptocurrencies has a lot to do with that. So if we can offer a country ways of multiplying their purchasing power, then we will give them the opportunity to build clean water wells, to build nicer and more confined housing, more structurally sound housing, to offer them clean clothes, clean food, fresh food, farmland, all of these things, right? Now, can cryptocurrencies be manipulated? Absolutely they can. And I was actually having an amazing conversation with the heart and soul of LA Talk Radio program director, Ronan. And he was sharing with me some very profound information about how the cryptocurrencies markets can be manipulated. But the point is, we are going through a global shift in our monetary system, in our asset classes. Study how the global monetary system works. Study how the US dollar silently steals purchasing power from the masses. study how you can position yourself in asset classes that are on the receiving end so you can live the life of your dreams, so you can take the most valuable commodity in the universe, which is your time, and do with it whatever you please. Thank you guys so much for tuning in on today's show. All the unconditional love, light, happiness, abundance, joy, and laughter from our hearts to yours. Thank you so much for tuning in with us. And always feel free to email me anytime. Dave'sVibrationStation@gmail.com. Check us out on Twitter at GoodVibeStation. Love you guys so much. And we will see you next Sunday. Peace.